Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
The White House National Security Advisor Mike Walls has said that the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is expected to sign a minerals agreement with the US imminently. Is it a sign of a breakthrough after a week of high tension between the US and the Ukraine? Well, for more, let's talk to BBC's Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse. James, thanks very much for joining me on the programme this evening. What do you make of these comments from Mike Walls?
Well, as of now, I think it looks like this is part of the White House continuing to pile pressure on President Zelensky to sign a deal that initially looked like it would allow America access to half of Ukraine's natural minerals. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars potentially. The impression we get here, there are sources quoted in local media, is that while there have been negotiations through the night, an agreement has not been reached, simply because for President Zelensky, he's already said he was selling his state by sacrificing so much of its future wealth to America. But also, it looks like it's still lacking, this American proposal, the security guarantees that Ukraine wants. So whether that's continued weaponry, ammunition, America's already said it won't be stationing troops in Ukraine, we don't know. But clearly, this seems to be the medium at which Ukraine and America's current political woes could be resolved. But to be honest with you, this is an extraordinary, I'm still processing it, this extraordinary U-turn, transformation, realignment of America's relationship with Ukraine and Europe.
And has this minerals plan been around for long, or is it new under Trump, or does it predate him?
This is a Donald Trump creation. This is his proposal. This is Donald Trump's art of the deal, as he would see it. This is America adopting a transactional approach to its support for Ukraine. Now, Ukraine says it is it contains 5% of the world's critical minerals natural minerals, which include lithium, nickel, and these can be used for batteries, circuit boards, weaponry, and there's a lot of money in it. Now, there are a whole host of complications in terms of retrieving these minerals, and also a large chunk of them are under occupied territory. But this is something that America has its eyes on, and Donald Trump has said this is about equalization, as he put it. We've given Ukraine, well, he gave a figure of $300 billion. It is not that, but that was the figure Donald Trump gave, and he's looking for payback to that figure, as well as money to provide future support in the future.
I understand Mike Walls also called on Zelensky to tone it down.
Yeah, so this is off the back of President Zelensky responding to Donald Trump, labelling him as a dictator, mm-hmm. to Donald Trump blaming him for Russia's invasion in Ukraine, to Donald Trump calling him a moderately successful politician, referencing his previous career, to President Zelensky doing a terrible job in the country. President Zelensky responded by saying, he's in a disinformation bubble created by Russia. And I think he's basing that on the lines we're hearing. I mean, some of what Donald Trump has said, you would expect to hear from the Kremlin. So we have really seen probably a bit of a one-way war of words here, but the consequences are no less critical.
As you mentioned earlier this week, Donald Trump called Volodymyr Zelensky a dictator. And in contrast, his envoy, Keith Kellogg, called talks with the Ukrainian leader positive and described Zelensky as an embattled and courageous leader. Then we have Donald Trump speaking again today. And I suppose each day people have been surprised, or maybe not surprised, at what he's been saying. He said he doesn't think Zelensky's very important to be at the meetings. And I see his comments this evening that Ukraine has no cards left to play, is what he's saying. Can relations be mended between the two?
I'm increasingly thinking it is becoming less likely, because this feels far beyond strategy. This is, even if it is a negotiation ploy to pile pressure on Ukraine, when you're saying things like Ukraine doesn't have the cards, but Russia does, because of all the land it's brutally seized. You know, this is a realignment. This is a, you know, this is a White House which reportedly has refused to recognize a UN statement condemning Russia's invasion, labeling it as the aggressor, whilst recognizing Ukraine's territorial integrity. This is the United States of America. This is beyond a negotiating tactic. And I think, you know, it may well be that an agreement around natural minerals or elsewhere could be thrashed out. And on the issue of compromise, maybe Ukraine would be a bit more discreet. But at the moment, we're just seeing a warming of language, an acknowledgement, a justification, almost that really, of Russia's invasion, whilst Ukraine is getting hammered publicly and being forced to sort of sacrifice its own resources just to be able to exist as a country with the support of the West.
A number of Western leaders are set to meet with Donald Trump next week, including President Macron and the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Can you see progress there?
I think it's a big job for both of them. Both of them are looking to bridge the gap between a European bloc working out how it can plug a security gap left by America, where there is already division over the question of stationing troops in Ukraine after a ceasefire, where some European, well, EU members are trying to work out how to increase their defence spending. Now, it is difficult for the likes of Spain and Italy to increase that spending under EU spending rules. We understand there's going to be a 6 billion euro offering on the anniversary of the invasion next week from the EU. But the challenge for Mr. Starmer and Mr. Macron is to say to Donald Trump, look, we're coming up with a plan. This is how we see we can police security in Europe and enforce a ceasefire in Ukraine. But we just need America there in case things go south, in case fighting breaks out. And that's what's acknowledged. We are still seeing a European continent finding weaning off America next to impossible. It needs America for its military might to back up any security deals in the future.
You mentioned the imminent third anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Very dramatic developments, of course, with the intervention of Donald Trump in the last week. What do you think happens next?
I asked this to a guy who's run an NGO, this crowdsourcing company that's provided military aid to Ukrainian forces since 2014, since the start of Russia's invasion. I said, are we going to be talking in a year's time on the four-year anniversary? And he said, whether we are, whether we're not, Ukraine will always keep fighting. We could probably keep fighting for up to a year with American help. That's already been pledged. After that, I don't know. If you go on what President Zelensky and his head of the security forces, Kirill Budanov, said, they expect possibly a ceasefire this year. But in the words of one Ukrainian military analyst I spoke to, a ceasefire does not equate to peace. And all the ceasefires in this war so far, this 11-year war, have been next to disastrous. So I think there is very little faith that Ukraine will be able to focus on some kind of harmonious outcome. But since 2014, they've known nothing other than war. Mm-hmm.
For now, that's where we leave it. Thanks very much for your time this evening, BBC's Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse. Back in just a few moments, we'll be talking about retrofitting rental homes.